Okay. Okay, today we are discussing the 24 things from which it's very hard to do teshuva. And the Rambam lists in order of different issues. The worst ones are, he says, there are four things which are very severe. And Hashem does not let a person who does these things repent very easily. Why? Because it's out of his control. So number one is a person who makes other people sin. We talked about Yeravam ben Nevat, who was the first king of the northern kingdom of Israel, who set up golden calves. And he didn't want the Jews to go to the temple, Beit HaMikdash. He stopped them going to Beit HaMikdash, put guards on the way. So he caused them to sin. He caused them to sin idolatry. A person who stopped the masses from performing a positive command. So you can't force people to do a negative, but you can stop them doing positive. That's what he did. He stopped them going to Yerushalayim. He stopped them going three times a year to the temple. He put up barriers. Number two, a person who is like a missionary for bad, persuading Jews to commit idolatry, Christianity, other things which stop them serving God, and a person can lose their Olam Haba for that. A person can not allowed to do teshuvah. Number three, a person who sees their child growing up in the wrong path and doesn't try and stop them. So that's also, including that, you can't repent for something which is out of your control. How can you repent for it? And number four is a person who says, I will sin, I will repent. Echteh ve'ashuv is a person who says that. It's very hard for him to do teshuvah. Hashem makes it out of it, goes out of it, but to try and make it harder for a person. In other words, there's no guarantees. A person says, I will sin, and I will do teshuvah. I will sin, and Yom Kippur will atone for me. It's very, very hard to do teshuvah. Why? Because a person keeps postponing. A person gets in the habit of postponing. I'll do teshuvah later, don't worry. I'll do more sins, and Yom Kippur will atone. Okay, now we come to five deeds which cause the teshuvah to be locked. Number five, what are these five? Number one, a person separates themselves from the community, which means they don't live with other Jews. They move far away. They go and live on the beach in Hawaii. Or they go, I don't know, to some forsaken place where there's no minyan, there's no Jews. He's trying to run away from Judaism. So what happens is when the community is doing teshuvah, he's not doing teshuvah, he's not with the community. So at least now we're doing Sirichot, so now there's a movement back to God, hopefully, before the holidays. So a person's not around, he doesn't go, he's not around, so therefore he's not influenced by the community for good. And therefore it's very hard for that person to do teshuvah. This is number two of the second section of the five things which are very hard to do teshuvah from. A person who contradicts the words of the rabbis. They don't believe in the words of the rabbis. And therefore what happens is, he argues with the rabbis, and therefore he's not going to be able to learn from the rabbis. Since he's not learning Torah from the rabbis, who's going to learn Torah from? There's no one else to teach Torah. And therefore he's going to lose his merits. And he'll never know how to do teshuvah. So a person's going to learn how to do teshuvah. It's not like it just comes naturally. It doesn't come naturally. You're going to know all these different methods of doing teshuvah. To admit, to regret, remorse, I won't do it again. All these things which a person needs to do teshuvah. A person who laughs at the mitzvot. A lotzetz, a leitzan, a person who makes a mockery of the mitzvot, when is he going to do teshuvah? He makes a mockery of the tefillin, he makes a mockery of the tzitzit. And why am I going to wear them? Why am I going to do them? I'm making a mockery of them. So he does not fulfill mitzvot, so how can he merit to repent? Everything's a joke. Shabbat is a joke, kashrut is a joke, this is a joke, and he's never going to do them. And therefore he's not going to do teshuvah. A person who makes a mockery of his teachers, which regrets, he rejects his teachers. For example, Gehazi, who was the student of Elisha, the big prophet. And Gehazi eventually made a mockery of his teacher. So, where's he going to learn teshuvah from? How's he going to learn teshuvah? Doesn't have a teacher. And lastly, which is most of us, to hate to be rebuked. Most people, it's a natural, I don't like being told off, I don't like being rebuked by people, because I don't like being rebuked, so who's going to tell you anything? No one's going to tell you anything. You know why they're going to tell you anything? Because if they do, you'll smack them. So like say a person, say, drives on Shabbat, let's give an example. And if you tell him anything, he's not going to come to shul. Or he's going to get angry with you. Won't talk to you again. So all these things, it's very hard for a person like that to do teshuvah. Why? They don't like being rebuked. So the truth is, when you rebuke someone, you don't rebuke them directly. You rebuke them through... You talk about it in general. You don't talk about it personally. Don't make it personal.
But what's better if he stays home and not on Chalel Shabbat?
Why you ask these questions? These are million-dollar questions. And it depends on the situation. The truth is, there's no... You'll ask some rabbis, they'll say it's better he stays home. Yes, other rabbis, quietly, they'll say it depends. He has children, he doesn't have children, what's going to happen in the future? You have to be farsighted. If he's not going to come to shul, he's going to go to the mall.
Shul, they see him
driving. Okay. Shabbat Shalom.
Amen.
You have to explain to your children. Not everyone keeps Shabbat. Everyone has to know that. In Israel, it's very easy. He's a goy. Yeah, he's not Jewish. Over here, it's much easier because the majority of people are. But listen, not everyone knows. You have to explain to people that not everyone knows. You're lucky. You're lucky I taught you. But not everyone knows. Not everyone's lucky that they go to yeshiva. Most Jews in America do not go to yeshiva. Most Jews in America never went to yeshiva. Most Jews in the world never went to yeshiva. So how are they going to know? So you have to tell the kids, listen, you're lucky, you know. I'm teaching you. Listen, we all grew up like that. We all saw people driving to shul. I did myself. I grew up like that. And you know what? Their children became rabbis. You know that? Their children became rabbis. A lot of these people. Because they didn't do it because they were anti. They did it because they didn't know any better. And that's the way they grew up. And you know, a lot of these people are unbelievable. See how their children did the teshuva. And sometimes they did the teshuva. When their kids do the teshuva, they do the teshuva. You don't believe in me. Unbelievable. And these are people who drove to shul. Because why? Because it has an impact. Definitely has an impact. And don't forget, these people, what about, that's 3 or 4% of a synagogue I know that still go to shul. 97% don't even go to shul. Where are they? Gone. Gone with the wind. Completely. They're gone. They're assimilated. They're gone. So the guys who go to shul, at least they have some kind of connection. The guys who don't come, no connection at all to Judaism at all. That's the connection. So now what happens if you take away that connection? Say, go stay home. Okay. 100% gone. 100% gone. So at least there's some kind of, who never know? You never know when a person will do teshuva. Never know. So the truth is, that's Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He asked the question, can you invite someone who's Mechalel Shabbat to your house on Shabbat? He says, give them an option. Come and stay with me. You know they're not going to say yes. They're going to say no. I'm not going to stay with you. Okay. I tried. But they're coming anyway. He doesn't say don't invite them. He says you can invite them as long as you give an option. Which is very amazing. This guy is, you can't be Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He's very, very far-sighted. He's very far-sighted. So all those who do Kiruv, they have these questions. What do you do? And the answer is, Kiruv is the only vehicle we have, otherwise we lost them completely. So a person who hates to be rebuked, and when a person is informed and shamed, sometimes he does the Shiva. So it depends on the situation. But a person who hates being hearing even, I don't hear about these things. No hope for that person. So really, yesterday's parasha is all rebuke. Musar, musar. And you know what? We don't hear. You know how we know? Because the Hazan says it quietly and whizzes through it. Why? We don't hear. No one wants to hear. Yeah. It's a very, very harsh musar. Yesterday's parasha was very, very harsh musar. And that's what Yeshayahu HaNavi says, right? Yada shor konehu. He said, an ox knows its master, and a donkey knows its master's feeding trough. Israel lo yada, amin lo itbonan. He says, Israel doesn't even know that. We don't know who our master is. We don't know here. We don't know where our food comes from. Imagine what a thing to say to people. You're worse than an ox. You're worse than a donkey. That's very harsh musar. So, a lot of people didn't want to hear from Yeshayahu. A lot of people, they put... What did they do, Yirmiyahu? They put him in a pit. They try to kill him. Yirmiyahu, the prophet, tried to kill him. So a person doesn't want to hear it, but listen, Yirmiyahu told the king, don't fight Bavel, don't rebel, do teshuva. I know what's going to happen. Everything's going to be destroyed. Yerushalayim's going to be destroyed. He didn't listen. If he listened, he could have saved Yerushalayim.
Who is the most successful prophet?
Moshe Rabbeinu. Most successful prophet in the world, Moshe Rabbeinu.
They never listened to Shmuel.
Listen to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was very takif. He got them Torah. He gave them the Torah. Shmuel HaNavi was successful. He was a successful prophet. And that's what the Torah said. We say, read it in the Tehillim. Moshe Aaron v'Kohanav u'Shmuel v'Korei Shemo. Shmuel was also, he was equivalent to Moshe and Aaron. Very, very well. So Moshe Rabbeinu was, if you ask me, he was the greatest prophet in every way possible. His prophecy was the highest, and we got the Torah from him. Amazing, we got. But you see, later on, the Jews didn't like to be admonished. That's this proof. Jews didn't like to be admonished, and therefore they didn't listen to the prophets later on. And same thing applies in school. You see, a teacher talks to these blue in the face, and the kids are messing around. So same thing. Or the shul has a rabbi, the rabbi talks, and goes in one ear, comes out the other. So that's it. So that's the problem. The problem is people don't want to hear. Or they listen. You know, it's interesting because I had the opposite experience. When I was in Vancouver, I had a woman. Whatever I said, you were talking about me, right? No. Yeah, I know you're talking about me. So it's like people, that's good. Why? Because she's taking it to heart. I wasn't talking to her, but she took it to heart. Some people take it to heart, some people just ignore. Let him talk. Soul talk. Okay, we're moving on to five things which are impossible to repent completely. And that's why it's so hard. Sins between man and man. Why? Because if you sin towards someone, you have to ask them for atonement. You have to ask them for forgiveness, and it's very hard for people to give forgiveness. Or if you stole something, it's very hard. If you don't know, you can't give it back. And we're going to go through different examples. Number one, a person who curses many people. He doesn't know who he cursed. He cursed a group of people. That's why it's very hard. Because he says, I hate these kind of Hasidim. I hate this thing. Asur. And it's hard to do teshuva. Why? Because how are you going to ask teshuva? Who are you going to ask forgiveness from? Well, you said something against a whole group of people. Who are you going to ask? Number two, a person who takes a share is a fence. You know what fence is? He disposes of robbed goods, stolen goods. So I didn't steal it, but the thief stole it. And he gave me all the stolen goods, and I go and sell it someone else. So I'm making part of the profit, and I can never give those things back. I don't know who bought them. I don't know how to get them back. So a person doesn't know who to... I don't know who you stole it from. So how am I going to give it back to the guy who he stole it from? I don't know. A person who benefits from the poor. Right, for example, in those days, like today, you go to America, they say, you go to New York, it's amazing. I was there yesterday. You see the riches and you see the poverty in the same place. You see the rich guys with the beautiful houses, and you see the paupers on the street benches. You never see such a big dichotomy, such a big contradiction. You get the beautiful houses, beautiful cars, rich people, and guys sleeping on the benches in the middle of the day. Now that's strange. Obviously these guys have mental problems. Why are you sleeping in the middle of the day? Can you imagine? It's a nice, beautiful day, and they're sleeping on the bench. Either they have no food, nothing, they're just knocked out. And no one knows. I don't know if anyone cares. They're just lying down, covered with blankets. It's strange. Beautiful day yesterday. So, now a person steals from a person who's an itinerant beggar. What do you mean? He's wandering from place to place. You can never find him. Because he can actually steal something which belongs to that person. They'll never be able to find him to teshuva. Person who takes a bribe. So the judge. How is he going to do teshuva? He took a bribe and twisted the judgment. And he made the guilty innocent and the innocent guilty. How's he going to repair that? How's he going to change that? So these are things which a person does. A person's going to think, you know, how am I going to do teshuva? If I want to do teshuva later on, how am I going to do teshuva? I don't even know who I stole from. I don't even know whose things it was. I don't even know where this person is today. It's very hard. So what do you do in a case like that? What do you do? A person says, I was a robber, Ganuf. And I stole from this town 20 houses. I don't even know. It was at night. I don't know which house it was. I can't remember. What do I do? Now I want to do teshuva. I want to give these things back. What do I do? Rabbi, what do I do? You give to the community. You give to, say, something which everyone uses in the community. And this way, at least, the person is going to have some benefit from what the person stole. So these are things that are very hard to do teshuva from. Among them are five more transgressions, which is unlikely a person will commit. Because why? Not because they're bad sins, it's because they're very light sins. People think, what did I do? I didn't do anything wrong. There's many cases where people don't think they did something wrong. For example, a person ate from someone's meal. They often invite them to his house, but they had very little food on the table. You go to Israel, some people have starving, very little food on the table, and yet, come and join me for Shabbat, I got plenty of food. There's no food there. It happened to me. I was in yeshiva, the guy comes, please come over. It was a summer break, and I was one of the few bakrim. I didn't have anywhere to go, stay in yeshiva. So he invited me to his house. I go there. He has 5-6 kids, a little bowl of rice and some bones. Please have. Rambam says, a person who eats from a meal which is not sufficient for the owners. It's a touch of robbery. They don't have enough. You're stealing their food. But he says, have it. Obviously, that's why it's not robbery. But it's a little bit of a robbery. Why? Because he doesn't really have to give. So the person would say, when you go to a place like that, you say, I'm sorry, my doctor says I'm on a diet. I can't eat. Who's your doctor? Rambam. Rambam says you can't eat from a place. There's not enough for the person. Number two, a person who takes a collateral from a widow or an orphan or a stranger and uses that collateral for themselves. So instead of it, he doesn't return it when the person needs it. So for example, a person has collateral from a poor person. We know the Torah says explicitly, if you take a widow's clothes, that's collateral. You have to give it back to her every time she needs it. She needs her pajamas. Every night you have to get a big bag and give it back to her. The guy is a farmer and he's very poor. And you take his plow as collateral. Imagine. You have to give it back to him every day. The person does it. They use it for themselves. You say, listen, I didn't do anything. It was collateral. But you use collateral when he needed it. That's robbery. A person looks at women. Forbidden to him. Says, what? I didn't do anything. I just looked. What did I do? I didn't do anything. So, not because it, Rambam says, not, this is not something which is very big. It's not a very big transgression. The trouble is, since it's not such a big transgression, a person will say, I didn't do anything. If a person would have done something, maybe he'd do teshuva. But he didn't do anything. I just looked. What did I do? I didn't do anything. So, say a person was jealous in their heart. A person passed by and sees these guys. You go to New York, there's beautiful cars out there. Lovely. You don't see these cars over here. Lovely cars out there. You say, wow, what a lovely car. I wish I had that car. You desire that car. Transgress. I didn't take it. I didn't steal it. I didn't do anything. So a person will never do teshuva. Not because it's a small thing. It's a big thing. I didn't do anything. I didn't do a big thing. And therefore I'm not going to do teshuva. It's only a small thing. In a person's eyes, it's small. When it's something small in a person's eyes, they'll never do teshuva. The person says, I didn't do anything. I just spoke Lashon Hara. What's the big deal? I just said something. What? I didn't hurt him. I would never touch him. Oh, yeah? You speak bad things about him. So of course you touch him if you had a chance. So a person doesn't realize how bad these things are. Since they don't realize how bad these things are, they won't do teshuvah. A person who listens, this is very humiliation. Someone was talking about it yesterday at the Shabbat table, having at work they would make a mockery of people. Anything. There was a guy, what's that festival in California that people go to?
Coachella.
Huh?
Coachella.
Very good. How do you know these things? And this guy at work, he took his girlfriend, he takes her every year, they travel first class to California and they go into the thing, and in the middle of the festival she broke up with him. So he comes back to his office and they're asking him, you know, they're trying to make a fun mockery of the guy. They don't leave him alone. Everyone this season, how'd it go, how's your girlfriend, how's everything? They know what happened. They just do it to humiliate him. So that's what the Rambam says. This is one of the things that's very hard to do teshuva from. So the person says, what did I do? I just made a mockery of someone. It was a problem. I didn't hurt him. I didn't kid him. I didn't hit him. I didn't steal from him. You made a mockery. Now this is a very hard one. Now we come to a very hard one. You invite someone to your house. This happens all the time. Something small that happens all the time. You invite someone to your house. And the next few days you're looking for something you think you lost. The person says, maybe that guy came over. Maybe he took this. I'm looking for my gold cup or whatever. It's a gold cup. You're in trouble. Silver cup. You're a silver cup. You're looking for something small you had in your house over there. I had it right there. And the guy came. And since he came, I can't find it anymore. And then 2 weeks later, you find it. That happens all the time. That is a avera of choshed b'ksherim. Because suspects someone who is kasher. Because not allowed to suspect someone. Now, how are you going to do teshuva? You go tell him, listen, please forgive me, I suspected you of robbing. He said, what, you? Smack. So these are things which are small, but they're big. That's the trouble. Because why is it hard to do teshuva? Not because they're big, but because they're small. A person says, what did I do? I didn't do anything. So let's just recap these five things. Number one, a person who eats from a meal, this is Baruch Hashem, we're in America, there's lots of food. At least people who invite people to their houses, you have lots of food, hopefully, there's Russia. A person goes to a meal where there's not enough food. So he says, please eat, and there's nothing fair. So it's like legalized robbery. He tells you to eat, but there's nothing to eat. You're going to steal from him. Number two is using a pledge, a collateral of someone. Well, they do in the pawn shops. But that's legal, because they already tell the guy, if you don't come within a certain time, I'm going to sell it. But here, I'm taking a pledge, I'm taking a guarantee, and I'm using it for my own purpose, so I don't give it back to him to use. Number three, looking at forbidden relationships, looking at the people who are forbidden to you. And thinking. So that's something what I do. I didn't do anything. I'm just thinking. I'm just looking. I'm thinking. Number four, a person who has fun at someone else's expense. And number five, a person who suspects someone who is worthy of something I'm doing wrong. So look at someone. he's up to something. I see that. He's suspecting someone for nothing. So, suspicion is also a transgression. Rabbi Hanan Kasher Amen. Ratzah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nezakon Yisrael, Piyatron, Tvosh.